Welcome to day 9 of the IIHF World Championships. Caroline Schved and Lucas Aykroyd here with you guys. And so much excitement happened today with 6 games on tap and the announcement, Lucas, that fans can buy tickets and attend games from June 1st onward. Hallelujah!
That's right, Caroline. Up to 2,600 fans at Arena Riga and up to 1,058 fans at the Olympic Sports Center. It's the news we've all been waiting for.
Okay, so for some people, Saturday is a big party night. And for me in particular, tonight is a must win for my Leafs. For others, it's time to relax with the family. So over the years, in what ways have you made your Saturdays? Like, how did you do it all about hockey?
You mean besides consuming gallons of free coffee while typing on my laptop and wearing a media credential at World Championship, Olympic, and NHL games, right?
I think that's what we all kind of guessed was your thing, Lucas. What about when you were an unprofessional kid?
Did I ever tell you I played 3 years under Bob Nicholson?
Wait, what? Are you talking about the current IIHF vice president and chairman of the Edmonton Oilers?
Yes, and I was in the NHL. But not the NHL you're thinking of. It was the Novice Hockey League at the Oak Bay Recreation Center in Victoria. It was a skills-based program that Bob founded way back when. And I liked to cherry pick and stick handle, and I was pretty good at roofing a backhand when I was 10.
That is total Canadiana for your Saturday nights right there.
Oh, for sure. And you know, TV-wise, you couldn't get a lot of World Championship games back then, unlike today when TSN offers wall-to-wall coverage of all 64 games. Although, I do remember Saturday, April 29, 1989, I watched the Soviets beat Canada 5-3 in Stockholm with, like, so much satellite delay that the players looked like they had these ghostly clouds following them. Yeah. Otherwise, because there was only one NHL game on TV each Saturday, I was usually forced to watch the terrible 1980s Leafs playing the Minnesota North Stars when I really wanted to see the Canucks taking on Wayne Gretzky's Oilers.
All right, Lucas, that's enough nostalgia out of you. We've got a lot to cover on this episode of the Totally Ice Hockey Show. We've reached the middle weekend of the IIHF World Championship, and Saturday did not let us down.
In comes Lindell with Ruotsalainen. Lindell for Ruotsalainen shoots! Scored!
For Ravik Lantosi to the front of the net. Big save, Tom. Rebound, Janosik bangs it home. Tolchinski on the steal. Scores!
Here's Lehotnikov. Swings it back across. There's a backdoor pass, and Shalapov score. 10 goals scored in the third period.
Goodness.
Let's get to all those important score details.
Czech Republic 6. Great Britain 1. Kazakhstan 11. Italy 3. 11, the most goals scored by any team so far in Riga. Russia 4. Switzerland 1. USA 2. Norway 1. Slovakia 2. Denmark 0. And Finland 2. Germany 1. The defending champs back on top of Group B.
Drum roll, please, for our game of the day. It goes to the Russians defeating the Swiss 4-1 and secured their lead over Switzerland in Group A. Lots to talk about here. Lucas, go ahead.
Oh, yeah. Two teams hoping to finish first in Group A. And as we predicted yesterday, Caroline, Switzerland just didn't have enough offense to get past the Russians. But full credit to coach Patrick Fischer and his men. Tied 1-1 with under 12 minutes to go, right? And what I loved about this game was the incredible passing. I mean, I've always loved Wayne Gretzky, Igor Larionov, Henrik Sedin. Well, those guys would have been proud of the pass Andres Ombiel sent to Nico Ishe for the equalizer. Ombiel, the Swiss veteran in his 16th Worlds, fighting off the check from Vladislav Kamenev along the sideboards, pivoting, whipping the puck cross ice to Ishe coming late on the back door. What a goal. But then, Caroline, this turns into the Sergei Tolchinski show. 2 minutes later, Tolchinski, blazing down right wing, gets shoved to the ice by 6'4" Tobias Geiser. But while sitting on his behind on the goal line, he one-hands the puck out front to Pavel Karnaukov, and that's your winner. Tolchinski adding 2 more goals, including an empty netter. And goalie Alexander Samanov getting the job done again with 22 saves. But here's an interesting wrinkle. the Russians adding two-time Vezina Trophy winner Sergei Bobrovsky, who could play in the medal round after quarantine. Bobrovsky, of course, backstopped Russia to its last gold medal in 2014, but his game has eroded more recently. For instance, and the Florida Panthers lost to Tampa Bay in the first round just now. Bob had an underwhelming 5.33 goals against average and 84.1 save percentage, giving up his net to first Chris Driedger and then Spencer Knight. So we'll have to see with Samanov if Coach Valeri Bragin believes in the motto of if it ain't broke, don't fix it, or not. But, you know, they're probably not bringing Bobrovsky to Riga for the sightseeing, right?
Awesome stuff as always, Lucas. Let's recap the other games because we have a lot on tap. Going straight into the reigning champs, proving why they're the reigning champs after defeating a tough German squad. Thoughts?
Well, the legacy of the 2019 Finnish World Junior team continues to bear fruit. We all remember how Kaapo Kakko scored the gold medal winning goal in Vancouver and then put up 6 goals for the champions in Bratislava at the Men's Worlds. Well, Anton Lundell, he assisted on Kakko's goal in Vancouver, and now he's an offensive catalyst in Riga as the Finns try to repeat under Jukka Jalonen. In this tight showdown with Germany, Lundell fires a great one-timer from the right face-off circle to open the scoring just 8 seconds into a Finnish PP. And then, with under 9 minutes to play in the third, the 19-year-old forward comes through again. Jumps on a German turnover in the neutral zone, busts over the blue line on a 2-on-1, and makes a perfect backhand dish to Arttu Ruotsalainen for the winner. The Germans, who started off so hot, they've actually scored fewer goals in each successive game in Riga as the competition stiffens, which has to be a concern for coach Tony Soderholm. Outshot 26-13 by the Finns, who now lead Group B with 13 points. Olli Matta talked afterwards about the one missing element for the defending champs.
Obviously, we want to score a little more goals, but I think we have the chances to do it. It's just a matter of time it's going to come.
Next up, the Slovaks have been on fire at this year's tournament and didn't hold back against Denmark, finishing them off 2-0 today.
Definitely a big game in the standings as the Slovaks take over top spot in Group A. But for a while here, the two sides seemed to think that a 0-0 draw a la football was possible. There was no scoring for more than 47 minutes. Fun fact, the last 0-0 game in world's history was May 9, 2005 in Innsbruck between Finland and Latvia. Anyway, here, Peter Salark finally breaks this tie and regains the tournament points lead with his third goal and 8th point. And Adam Janosik adds some insurance. 24 save performance for flamboyant goalie Julius Hudacek. And of course, Denmark's Sebastian Dam, excellent in goal again. But his teammates are just not generating enough shots or capitalizing on their chances.
Okay, let's talk about this. The U.S. are on a run. How many wins in a row do they have now, Lucas?
A 1, 2, 3, 4. 4 straight wins for the Americans. And no luck for Norway, which will miss the quarterfinals for the 8th consecutive tournament. A hard-fought game for sure. Tage Thompson, back in the lineup after recovering from an upper body injury, and he scores the deciding goal in the second period. In net, Jake Ottinger making U.S. coach Jack Capuano look good, getting his first start of these Worlds and making 22 saves, including an amazing glove grab off Mats Roselli Olsen while lying on his belly. But Capuano is still looking for improvement in one key area. Take a listen.
I think the biggest thing that we now have to recognize is that's 5 penalties in back-to-back games, so we just have to be a little bit more disciplined as we move forward here.
All right, up next, we got the Czech Republic burying 6 goals on Great Britain. Tough day for the Brits today, huh? Well, unless you're a Chelsea fan listening to the Totally Ice Hockey Show. So shout out to all the Chelsea fans. Big win today over Man City. Lucas, we'll get back to World Championship play right now. So take us away with this one.
You know we have Man City fans listening too, right? Sorry.
My condolences out to the Man City fans. I'm not a fan of either. My dad's a massive Liverpool fan, but I'm just happy because producer Lucy, who's a gem, is a massive Chelsea fan. So we got to give out a shout out to all the Chelsea fans listening.
Major props to producer Lucy. So anyway, look, 6-1 for the Czechs over Britain. When your goalie cramps up and has to leave the game with 11 minutes remaining, that might sometimes be a sign that he's getting overworked, right? Full marks to Britain's Jackson Whistle for battling to keep this one respectable. He gave up 4 goals on 33 shots before Ben Bounds took over. Look, 6 games in 9 days, it's taken a toll on GB. Mm-hmm. But the Czechs are back, baby. 2 goals from Libor Sulak in the 6-1 win, 3rd straight win after their lousy start. Good reason for optimism for the Czech fans heading into Monday's game against Denmark.
Rough day for the Brits and an even worse day for the Italians after Kazakhstan found a way to score 11 goals on them. Yep, you heard that correctly. 11.
You know, Caroline, if I ever launched a political career, I'm sure the opposition would make attack ads with me saying yesterday, blowouts aren't Kazakhstan style. Remember that? Whoops. 11-3. I mean, who could foresee this former Soviet Republic scoring nearly 4 times as many goals against Italy as the defending champion Finns mustered? But Captain Roman Starchenko, leading the way with 5 points, he's suddenly contending for the tournament scoring title. Italy, I mean, there's not much left to be said right now. They are physically and mentally exhausted after all the adversity they've faced. But again, the good news is, this is a learning experience since there's no relegation at this year's Worlds. They'll be back in 2022, and meanwhile, the Kazakhs are feeling awfully good about themselves heading into their last group game Monday with Norway.
Okay, the host nation is back in action tomorrow. We'll look ahead to that game in just a moment, but let's just take a moment right now to salute our lovable Latvians and the awesome show they've put on for us so far under such difficult circumstances. Our IIHF.com writer, Derek O'Brien, who's on site in Latvia, has been giving us a taste of what it's like on the ground in Riga.
My favorite moment in Latvia so far was the aftermath of the opening night win by Latvia over Canada. And not the game so much as the reaction by the fans, because I don't think that came across on TV with an empty arena so well. But outside the arena, the fans gathered and cheered on the team, and I don't know if they arrived before the game and cheered the whole game or what, but I do know that they were there at the end, waiting from a distance, of course, because they can't get too close, and cheering the players as they exited the arena and went to the team bus. And they were cheering outside the team's hotel room that night and throughout the city. I could hear the car horns honking and people whooping it up and whatnot from where I'm staying. And apparently they even laid flowers at the Canadian embassy. You know, I haven't had a lot of time yet to do sightseeing, although I do have a nice view of the old town from my hotel room. But going to and from the arena, there are signs and banners visible, and there's no mistaking that the World Championship is here, and everyone's pretty excited about that. I think that's normal to get that kind of thing in a World Championship host city, but it's nice to see how engaged the fans are.
Lucas, how much are you missing being out there in the thick of things right now?
Oh, I'm missing it a ton. You know, being at the arena, I love that feeling of anticipation in the air just before the big game, sitting in the tribune, in the stands, feeling the roar of the crowd when someone takes the puck end to end. And, you know, when you get a great interview, somebody has really poured their heart out to you and you've just wrapped it up. You know, I love all that. And of course, being in the arena, hearing my favorite bands like Van Halen and Def Leppard over and over at top volume. And, you know, there's always the experience of going to these amazing host cities, right? Being half Finnish, I cannot wait to get back to Tampere and Helsinki next year.
All right, let's preview. Tomorrow, we've got a lot of action in World Championship play, starting off with Belarus, who's at the bottom of Group A, taking on Switzerland. Can they find hope anywhere? Or, I hate to say it, but are they pretty much done at this point?
Well, the funny thing about both these teams is it's like Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. We just don't know what personality they're going to show up with game to game. Like, Switzerland, are they going to be the powerhouse that walloped Slovakia 8-1? Or the underachievers who fell 7-0 to Sweden? You look at Belarus, can they play the canny game that earned them a 1-0 win over the Swedes and a point in the 3-2 overtime loss to the Czechs? It's really hard to predict, Caroline, but I do think Belarus, yeah, they're trending downward more, especially with that upset loss to the British and the horrendous third period against Denmark. Now, of course, Switzerland coming off a 4-1 loss to Russia, but I think in that game, they could have had a better fate against a lesser opponent. Hello, Belarus.
Another team who finds themselves at the bottom of the standings, but this time in Group B, are the Italians. They're taking on a Canadian team that's beginning to find their stride. So what are your thoughts on this game, Lucas?
Well, let's be honest. Canada would have liked a larger margin of victory against Kazakhstan than 4-2. But at the end of the day, getting the 3 points right now is what matters. As Bryan Adams put it in Summer of 69, ain't no use in complaining when you got a job to do. And with Canada still very much on the playoff bubble, the job is to get 6 points out of their last two group games and see where the chips fall. That said, they should try to fill the net against Italy, just in case goal differential becomes a tiebreaker on June 1st. Now, we know captain Adam Henrique's top line with Connor Brown has been buzzing, especially ever since the addition of Andrew Mangiapane 2 games ago. It's time now for other guys like Maxime Comtois and Cole Perfetti to step up and add that secondary scoring. As for the Italians, here's Angelo Michelli with a quote that sums up their mindset.
It's simple. We play tomorrow. We got to forget today. We can't think about it for a second. And we play tomorrow. And we got to find. We got to stick together as a group and keep our head high. You know, representing our country here. And that's about it. To keep our head high and bounce back and play with pride.
Okay, question for you: can the Swedes upset the Slovaks, or is there just no chance there?
Oh, there's a chance for sure. Look. Coach Johan Garpenlöv's team is in the same boat as Canada, right? 2 wins, 3 losses. They absolutely need another regulation win. Interestingly, longtime Finnish coach Hannu Jortikka, who served as an assistant with the 1988 Olympic silver medal team, told Iltalehti that he thinks Garpenlöv must resign if the Swedes fail to reach the quarterfinals. So there is all kinds of pressure on Trey Kroener from everywhere. Sad but true, defenseman Niels Lundqvist is the team's leading scorer with 5 assists, but he only played 3 games before having to leave due to an injury. Sweden just has to remember, don't sit back too much, even with a lead. Like, that burned them, right? Against the Czechs. Mm-hmm. And then look at what Slovakia did to the Russians in the third in their 3-1 win, right? So this is going to be a very intriguing duel. The Swedes have to come out hard.
Can't wait. And last but not least, a game that I'm excited for, our host nation, a.k.a. the lovable Latvians versus the reigning champs Finland. What's going down in this one?
We can expect a game that looks a whole lot like Finland's 2-1 win over Germany. I think the real question here is, can the Finns crank up their offense another notch? Latvia hasn't scored more than 2 goals against any of the traditional medal contenders. So if the Finns could get 3 or 4 goals, they almost certainly win. That said, there's no room for complacency here. Of course, the Latvians need 3 points to keep their slender playoff hopes alive. And, you know, they're obviously excited about getting their loyal fans back in the building. So they will lay it all out there. Latvia has got to dam up Matis Kivlenik's net like beavers and prickle the Finnish net like hedgehogs. And that's biology 101, folks.
Oh, I was just about to say, we can't end this episode without some type of animal reference, and here we are. Here we are. Lucas, save the day, everyone.
It's all about the nature documentaries over here.
Amazing stuff. That's it, everyone. That's a wrap on this episode of the Totally Ice Hockey Show. Lots of action to watch tomorrow. We'll be here to recap everything and preview the next day. So stay tuned, and I'll see you tomorrow, Lucas.
I spent my evenings doing the podcast, and that's when I met you. Yeah.
Cut him off. Cut his mic.